Hey, foos, it's Mr. T. The only thing funny than a roundabout show might be Rampage Jackson trying to play B.A. Baracus on that new A-Team movie. Everyone knows there's only one B.A. Baracus. That's me. Now I need you to do something for me. Go to the Roundabout Show website. Take the survey there. Why should you do that? Because if you don't, I'll make what I did to Balboa in that first fight look like a tickling match to you. Go do it now.
Not in New Orleans just yet. I'm Jeffrey Ross.
Back in Knoxville, Tennessee, I'm Zach Bowman.
Just home from Abilene, Texas, I'm Michelle Naranjo.
As always, from the Roundabout Studios in Livonia, Michigan, I'm Eric Tritko.
I'm producer Ben Sanders.
And I'm your host, Craig Cole.
This is Roundabout.
Welcome to Roundabout, episode 30, our weekly chat covering car culture, vehicle reviews, and some of the auto news you may have missed.
Every week, like an Apple product announcement, we saunter onto the stage of the internet in jeans and a mock turtleneck in search of a cohesive and zen-like theme. And now, Roundabout founder and CEO, Mr. Craig Cole.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. This week, we're bringing you something magical at an unbelievable price. It's something we think you're really going to love. But before we jump into what's new, let's take a little look back at where we're at. To date, our products have been downloaded dozens of times from iTunes. Isn't that great? It's really wonderful. So far this year, our growth has been off the charts, increasing by a factor of one. And we look forward to continuing that momentum in the coming years. So that's a look at where we're at now. Let's look to the future. There's an empty slot between magazines and television shows. One is totally portable, but it's not something you can use while driving. The other is perfect for at-home use, but, you know, you can't take it anywhere. Well, we've got a solution, and it's called the ROAB. Let me show it to you here. Isn't that beautiful? I know. Now, just let me show you how it works. All I have to do is click, and I'm listening. You see? Just tap right there on the super responsive touch screen, and it takes right off. It's so easy, and we think it's something you're really going to love. It's also really amazing, and so very easy. It even has a built-in Kindle app on the back here. And you can see we call it an app because it's applied to the back of the device with shipping tape. Isn't that great? Isn't that awesome? It's super easy to use, and we really think you're going to love it. Check that out, Eric.
Can I have a forklift, please?
Damage Ben's precious iPad. Oh, wait. It's not an iPad. All right, are we done now, Ben?
I guess that's up to you, Craig.
All right. Okay, so here we are. Have we really done this for 30 episodes now? It's hard to believe it's been that long.
But feels like 90.
I know.
Just be honest.
Time drags just, on when you're...
I think we did 30
dorky.
Just now.
Yeah.
Yeah. That this episode alone feels long.
Oh. We're 6 minutes in. All right.
Woo! 2 hours to go.
Awesome. So we've returned to normalcy this week. We've got our regular cast on. Michelle, glad you could join us again.
Si, taco bueno.
Como te llamas? Yes, and of course Eric in the studio live, joining us per usual. Glad you could make it.
As always, good to be here.
All the way from Dearborn.
Yes.
How was the drive?
About normal.
Well, what constitutes normal?
No radio, no heat.
No, it's a no-frills.
It's a no-frills ride,
you're
yes.
You like it that way, though. You don't like a lot of bells and whistles, so that's good. And
it's
of course,
a no-multitasking truck.
Yes, it is. Exactly. So we've also got Jeffrey Ross down in Jacksonville. What's up, Jeff?
Not much. One more week.
Yeah. Another painful ROAB intro you've survived, so congratulations on that.
Thank you.
And of course, we cannot forget, from the heart of the stroke belt, Zach Bowman.
Yep.
Thank you for joining us again, Zach.
Glad to be here.
And I've got to say, great job taking over the roundabout reins when I was going on business, well, 2 weeks ago.
Oh, thanks. It was terrifying.
I bet it was. And, you've earned a bronze medal, no less, I think,
all
for
right.
your performance.
All I could ask for.
And congratulations on your Autoblog promotion. That's a pretty big deal.
Thank you very much, sir.
Yes, yes. I'm very impressed that you've metastasized to yet another website.
I know. So. I too am like VD of the interwebs. So.
Spreading everywhere. So anyway, if you haven't guessed already, if you couldn't tell, if it wasn't obvious, the theme this week for roundabout episode number 30 is the Game Changer episode. Cool. Yes, cool indeed. Because we've picked that theme because Apple introduced its new Mac Slablet, or what's it called, Ben?
iSlablet.
Okay, the iSlablet. So Eric, Michelle, you've got the first story on the list today, which involves the iPad. Why don't you tell us about it? Apparently they've retrofitted this to a car. How does that work?
This is my story, really?
Well, your name's next to it on the rundown.
I know, right?
It's a video. It's got a video too, so it's less reading. If that helps. Not sure.
Yeah, I don't think that does work, but
the what works? The videos?
The video?
Oh wait, I see what he was saying. No, go ahead. Go. Sorry.
We are a team of winners.
Hey, we're skipping out of practice.
This feels very much like an Apple presentation where everything works right and all the marks are right. And
I know. I thought I was dealing with Ethiopia. I'm sorry. I didn't realize I was doing this one.
Thumbs up for reading the script ahead of time, guys. Congratulations. No.
Yeah, I read the damn script. I don't want to hear it.
Wah.
Yeah, earlier today.
Well, Michelle, you've got an excuse. You've been out of town for, on a flight at 2 this morning.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough.
So,
fair enough.
Okay.
What's going on?
So somebody is like putting an iPad into their car, right? Right?
I know.
I think that might be the gist.
And isn't it a surprise that it's in Santa Clarita, California, where these guys just get completely over the top with there are little tweaks that they do to their cars. I mean, that doesn't surprise me at all.
Mm-hmm. So they've retrofitted it
into a Toyota Tacoma.
Toyota Taco. That's pretty. So do they use it for the nav system? I assume in lieu of a regular built-in.
Well,
I don't know how they could do that since the GPS model isn't out yet.
Bingo.
Aha.
So what good is the damn thing?
Well, I don't think the Toyota Tacoma comes with GPS anyway, so there's no loss.
Well, it's made for distracted driving, right?
But no addition either, so.
Exactly. You can watch motion
pictures when
you drive.
The point was to be
the
first out there.
Yep.
Why do I think these guys are trying to get, floor space at SEMA, right?
There you go.
I don't think it was that good. I don't think it's SEMA worthy, but they did do a good job.
Well, that green truck, what was it, a Tacoma? With the gaming, that was SEMA worthy somehow. Remembering back to our
stupid Xbox version,
yes, yeah. That one. But I digress. So great, they've mounted. Wouldn't it have made more sense to just wait for the 3G version of the damn iPad?
If you want to be first.
But what's there to be first about? I could have taped it to the side of a refrigerator and said, "Look, iPad fridge."
Hold on, let me go do that. I'll post a YouTube video.
You get 100,000 views, I bet, and get featured on Autoblog.
I mean, I don't think there's going to be any real difference in size between the two, so I guess they'll just drop in the other one, mm-hmm. when it comes out. So,
did you hear about the people who are going around, like, whenever some new technology comes out, they go into the store, buy it, and then smash it?
Yes.
Just to piss nerds off? Is that what it is?
I don't know. They did it with the PlayStation 3. They did it with this.
Hmm.
Super uncool.
Well, is that any different than like the Blend It guys who, have I'm sorry.
Will it blend?
Will it blend? Will it blend went silent for a long time. And then suddenly with the iPad and then with the Fiesta, they've jumped back into being on everybody's timelines, right, in social media, which is just Like, these guys went away for a couple of years. And suddenly there's, like, the iPad being blended, and then I guess they did some Fiesta thing. Like, will it blend?
Don't breathe.
Which yeah. is, not sure how that worked. Didn't watch it because I couldn't care. But, yeah, the iPad in the car, sorry. Everybody that has any ability to wire stuff has already overridden everything that keeps you from being able to do everything that you could possibly want with sync and all that other stuff. You cannot
keep your car will be stolded for that?
Oh. They probably wouldn't take the car. They'd probably just, you know, rip off your door and take the iPad.
And it looks, judging by the picture, it looks like they did a crappy job fitting it too, you know? Look at the gap in the corner.
If you watch the video, I think this is still mock-up, though.
Ah.
It's eHow. This is total eHow stuff. And the iPad stuff makes me so – I went on Saturday. You know, I was traveling over last weekend, and I left my AC adapter for my MacBook at home in Long Beach. And I was traveling without it, and I had to eventually just break down and went to an Apple store on all days Saturday. They turned me away.
What?
Because I wasn't buying an iPad.
They said, like, "I'm sorry, your money isn't good enough. Go."
Well, no, they said it was like fire code, and I had to get at the end of the line, and there were 80 people in line waiting to get their iPads. And so
it's not people; it's not that big of a deal,
right? Sorry. So then we went to the nearest Best Buy, and the Best Buy had a table set up with. Apple reps, I guess, or Best Buy trained Apple reps. And there were, you know, they had like three examples out of iPads. No one was looking at them. And I managed to walk right in, buy my AC adapter for my MacBook and walk out. I mean, it's this weird snobbery
I didn't have any problem. I went to the Apple store in Troy about 1 o'clock on Saturday.
Somerset?
At Somerset, yes.
That must have been a freaking zoo.
No, because they had a queue set up for people out, and if you weren't going in, weren't getting an iPad, you could go in and out, and they had a table set up so everyone could look. So, hey, they're just more organized there because there wasn't an issue there.
Did you get your iPad yet?
No, I did not.
Ben? That whole snobbery thing is really the only thing that turns me off from Apple in general, you know? I'm one of those people that believes there's not any real difference between the hardware, you know.
Oh, tell that to Ben. He's going to fly off into a rage.
It's mostly just operating system, right?
So no, that's absolutely true.
So, you know, I mean, one computer in my eyes is pretty much as good as the other.
As aggravating.
As aggravating, yeah. I mean, all computers are going to have their problems, and, you know, sorry, Ben.
what's worse than a MacBook user?
A MacBook Pro user?
A MacBook user that drives a Prius.
I was gonna say a Corvette, but that works too.
So, I mean, Steve Wozniak?
What is the advantage of? I mean, even if it had the GPS, seriously, if it had that in there, what's the advantage of having an iPad in your car? Seriously,
I don't know, Ben.
Like, do you want to be able to read novels while you're driving? Does that?
If you think, here's what I'll say, and I'm not saying it's good one way or the other. It just is. If you look at how big some of the screens are getting on the in-car navs, they're like 7-8 inches. So this isn't that much bigger. So for using it for your stereo, for GPS in the future, I'm sure TomTom will have a plug-in for it. For those that don't have it. It's fine. I mean, it's just a little bit bigger.
Mm-hmm. That's like the CTS wagon. That thing has a freaking nav screen the size of a small television.
I think that is like 9 inches, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And if you,
it's got some girth. Like,
it's got a setting. God damn it, Greg.
It's got girth. That's length.
It's got a setting for day and night, right? And if you don't turn it to the night setting or the auto setting, that will blind you at night. It's unreal.
Mark it, Ben.
Marked it.
All right. Well, to get this slightly more on
track,
auto themed, our next story also deals with the iPad. Whoops. But Eric, you've got this one. So what's going on?
This one is. I saw it come up on Twitter on Wednesday night, where everyone starts tweeting of, "Hey, look at this video. The iPad works on, you know, can work with forward sync through Bluetooth." So I look at the video and I'm like, "Okay, what's the big deal here?" You know, it's on Bluetooth. And connecting audio through Bluetooth is stupid because Bluetooth audio compresses music so bad it's not going to sound that good. So why would you be happy about it? And it intrigued me for two things. A, because all the Ford social media people are like, hey, look at this. It syncs. You know, it syncs with Sync or whatever. And I'm like, okay. I mean, they're doing their job, whatever, building the hype. But the funniest thing is at the end of the video, the guys who apparently run a resume writing site, a website that writes resumes for people looking for jobs out of Ann Arbor, Michigan.
It's like a small fallen ladder.com.
Resumewriter.com, I think.
Oh God.
They say at the end of the video,
disgust.
The
total disgust.
The end of the video, the guy specifically says it only works through Bluetooth. It doesn't work any other way. I'm like, really? So I can't hook it up through the USB connection like I would with my iPhone or my iPad?
Center console.
It doesn't have to fit in the console. The connector just has to plug in, and apparently it doesn't work, which I thought was odd.
Well, it's brand new. I doubt Ford had a test unit, you know.
Yeah, but how different could it be from the iPod
Touch?
Well,
considering the standard iPhone doesn't work with Sync, right? I mean, aren't there all kinds of problems with the iPod Touch and the iPhone?
But you know what's interesting, though, is that the press releases that came out from Ford this week about Sync were like that they're on version 2.0. But when I was at the Mustang thing, and Jeff, you probably experienced this as well on the Mustang thing, was that the engineers that I talked to, they're actually on like 4.0. Like, so the consumer point oh is different from their version.
The engineering.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's the way everything goes in the automotive world, or the just technology world in general.
Yeah, I mean, there are people after yesterday that are now on iPhone 4.0.
Holy crap.
Because they're developers. So.
Developers. You didn't have that one ready, Ben?
No one gets that. That's a Microsoft
reference. I'm a little confused
reference.
Right now.
That's a Microsoft.
You have to get up and start throwing your chairs at
people. I think Craig just turned the tables on Zach.
That's true.
I think cool. Craig has a little issue with developers.
Am I sweating profusely? No, not quite. Damn it. I need to work on my Ballmer impersonation. But anyway.
Well, you got that down pretty good. You're good at talking for like 7 minutes and not saying a word.
Yep. We just did, you know, at the open of the show here, so.
Good.
Anyway, our next story fits our game changer theme. It comes courtesy of the BBC.
On the BBC.
Yep. Very good, Ben. You know your letters.
Thank you.
See, I thought this was my story because I was the one that submitted it.
Oh, were you?
Oh, that's not how we operate here, honey.
I know now. But see, I guess it makes sense because Craig's the one that looks like an Ethiopian child.
I starve myself, Michelle. I don't want to be a fatty. I'm sorry.
I know.
When you said that, Ben, just now, I could just picture you with your hand on your hip and snapping your fingers.
I know.
Honey.
Three times around the world.
Oh, Lord.
So anyway, back on topic.
Why?
Yeah, I ask myself that too.
Back to Ethiopia.
It looks like they're developing an electric car. Isn't that thrilling?
Isn't that weird?
I am from Holland. I caught Zach
that is
off
weird,
guard
right?
there.
Yeah. Yes, Craig. Weird. Quite
That's
weird.
So bizarre.
Do tell.
Almost as bizarre as the shoe next to the picture in the ad there.
Exactly.
Michelle's wearing those right now.
She's got to go to work at 10 o'clock.
It's made out of zip ties. The buckles look like zip ties.
I have no idea what you're talking about at all.
You at the Diamond Club tonight, Michelle?
Click on the link.
I clicked on the link.
Look at the shoe on the right.
There is no shoe on the right.
Look at the video for the show.
Refresh your page.
Refresh it.
Michelle?
Yes?
You working at the Diamond Club tonight?
Oh, there's a shoe. Okay. Before I just had like
a spearmint rhino.
Oh. Sorry. I know it. Fridays you're at one, Saturdays you're at another. You've got that schedule. Anyway.
Sounds like you, Craig.
Yeah, I know. What can I do?
Go.
A bunch of freaking Ewoks in here.
Chewbacca lives on a planet with a bunch of 2 foot tall Ewoks. That does not make any sense.
Go.
Ethiopian electric car. The Solaris Electra will be manufactured in Addis Ababa.
Addis Ababa.
See, Michelle was ready for this.
Michelle, why don't you tell us about this Ethiopian electric?
This hurts, buddy. This hurts bad.
It hurts so good, though.
It's so good. Because he's a journalist.
So Ethiopian electric. Looks like it's going to stick around $12,000 to $15,000 US.
Apparently.
That word is banned, Michelle.
Literally.
It's banned.
I know, right?
It's banned literally. I know. So what's so weird about an Ethiopian EV? Everybody's developing EVs.
But the Ethiopians don't have any food, do they? So they're working on an electric car?
If they don't have food, they can't make electricity.
Well, that's the irony, I think. Yes. Sad trombone. They don't have electricity. They're having shortages, yet they're building an electric car. Who knew?
Genius.
Who knew? What else can you tell us about it, Michelle?
You know, I think it's more the joke about, like, you know, how you – like, these kids these days are, you know, making their parents buy hybrids and wishing their parents had EVs because they feel better being picked up at school in a car that looks more economically friendly.
Wait, is that seriously happening?
It's seriously happening where kids are actually managing to persuade the way their parents buy cars and – you know, it's going to be that old joke of, you know, it used to be when we were kids, and I'm sorry, this is multi-generational now, you know, eat your food because there's kids starving in Ethiopia. Now it's going to be like, you know, don't forget to plug in the EV, Mom, because, you know, there's kids without electricity in Ethiopia.
There are kids choking on carbon dioxide in China.
Ethiopia is not the hungriest country anymore either.
No, it's not. It's not.
It's Alabama.
I got family in Alabama.
I'm so sorry.
Ooh, too soon.
All right. So the Solaris Electra, it looks like they're going to be producing, what, 30 per week?
Yeah, and the more taxes, their whatever VAT on cars in Ethiopia is more than 100%.
Well, they're frivolous luxuries, Michelle.
Absolutely.
In a place where you can't eat dinner.
You can buy an AK-47 for less than you can buy an apple in Ethiopia.
There's not a damn thing wrong with that, Eric.
I think Zach's running an NRA membership drive here.
What if the Somali pirates will drive these things?
That's a good question.
The question is it safer than a Nano?
Well, less to catch on fire, I would assume.
I'd rather be burned to death than electrocuted.
Mm. Right. Really? Wait till the Jaguars and the Land Rovers start catching on fire.
Yeah, Lucas Electronics for EVs. That ought to work
darkness.
Well.
I don't know. You get shocked to death. You just go into cardiac arrest and you knock out. You know, you burn to death. You suffocate. That's not fun.
No, it's not.
I'd rather freeze to death.
Also,
let's talk about how we want to die. I have a better idea. Let's talk about a video. That's our next story.
Wow.
And Jeff, genius. I believe you've got this point of view driving simulator. It's a little experiment some people did.
For fans of Grand Theft Auto.
Oh, I love killing prostitutes with a bat.
He's talking
no
about
offense,
the game.
Michelle.
Oh, whoops. Sorry.
But these people somewhere rigged a pickup truck to drive with the above car camera angle that is common on the video game. And it's actually pretty cool watching them do it. And the best part in the video is the guy's like, yeah, we got $2,500 worth of equipment strapped up with duct tape and zip ties. And for some reason, it made me think of Zach.
Yeah, that is not $2,500 worth of equipment. That's like $35 at least. That camera's like $2,700 for the body alone.
It's a Canon 5D Mark II with HD video and a 17mm camera.
That lens
is probably $500-$600.
Easy. It's not an L though.
Oh, okay.
Just that. Sorry.
But so isn't this kind of like what pilots deal with? right, when they have to do their blind test and, you know, they can't see and they have to deal with only, you know.
Instruments.
Isn't it kind of the equivalent of a pilot training?
Well it's like a simulator, except what are they simulating? A video game? You're simulating a simulation?
Yeah, right? It's meta.
That's money. That's money well spent.
What's the sound of one hand clapping? This is capitalism at its best.
So these guys are actually – I mean, they've been putting out videos online for a long time, and they originally were doing like little skits, only they were using the Halo multiplayer to do the skits, and they were pretty fucking funny. They were
market, market.
Fuck, 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 fuck. Someone's car alarm is going off, and I'm pissed about it.
Zach hasn't had enough beer tonight.
There's no beer in the house.
What? Has your wife turned you into a teetotaler now?
No. I had my sister house sit for us last weekend while we were gone, and I told her she could.
The bitch drank it all.
Yeah, there's nothing left in this house.
Don't say that about his sister.
She cleaned you out.
Cleaned me out. Cleaned me out.
Well, that's the least you could do for house sitting, you know? You probably didn't pay her.
Did pay her.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, she had to watch the cars and the guns.
Not in that order, though.
Actually, we took the guns with us, so. Yeah.
Zach never goes anywhere without protection.
You took all of the guns with you?
Well, most of, well, two of them.
How many do you own, Zach?
Jeez, I don't know. I want to say four. I want to say four. Because I got rid of the AK. The AK was five, so that's four. Four.
The Third Amendment at its best.
It's the second.
Okay, second.
I know.
I had to hire a pet sitter.
It's Jeff Cole down there in, you know, New Orleans, Florida.
In Nashville, Tennessee.
Okay. Back
on
tax.
So how did these
guys do? So basically what they got, they built a real-life driving simulator to simulate driving in Grand Theft Auto, third-person point of view, and they sucked at it, right, Ben?
Well, one would think if you've played video games all your life, you'd be really good at driving in this view, and yet they were not.
So this is like a DARPA vehicle, except there's a human in control.
That's right.
There's even more terrifying.
Oh, there he just took out the dummy. Look at that. F-150 King Ranch. Smacked the pedestrian.
My favorite part about this is they sick the Yakuza, quote unquote, on the guy. Like the driver has to run to the door while these two guys with foam baseball bats beat the crap out of him.
So they're the Japanese mafia.
Yeah.
Why does the driver have to look like Tom Green?
Because that's funnier.
I don't think he chose to. I don't think he woke up in the morning.
Hey, Zach.
Tom Green. Yeah. Yes, Craig.
Yes, Craig. Why don't you tell us about this RC Viren somebody built before we get bogged down any further?
RC Viren, yeah, okay. Well, someone decided to build a replica Bugatti Veyron with Lego's Technica or Technic parts, so which is cool enough, right? But it's remote controlled, so it's got a power targa roof, and you can move the spoiler up and down. And it's even got a working transmission, which is pretty awesome.
How much time do you have to have on your hands? This is incredible.
I went to the Lego exhibition that was at the Henry Ford Museum earlier this year, and
or just the Henry Ford,
whatever. There were some pretty crazy things there. I mean, like somebody
you were
built
so called out there.
Somebody built like a 10-foot dragon out of Legos. There were like a couple castles. Someone built a whole city block that had trolley service in it. But I don't know that anything as crazy as an actual working 7-speed gearbox. You know,
Legos are pretty much Denmark's greatest contribution to humanity.
Sure. I love
probably.
Legos are awesome. Yeah.
You know what, Craig? I actually have some Technic pieces that I will send you because you have nothing else to do.
Oh, I don't work a lot of hours or drive
none
anything.
At
I
all.
You know, I just got all kinds of free
it's
time.
It's pretty fascinating
hands.
Stuff, and you can program the stuff on your PC since you're a PC guy. I can't do it on my Mac. I'll send them to you.
Well, Macs are lame.
You can play with them while you do your 2-hour commute every day.
Yeah,
exactly.
Since I don't have an iPad to play with on my drive.
Exactly. You got to do something.
Yeah, come on. Well, there you go. So they built a 7-speed transmission in this car. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And it's radio controlled. They can drive it. Even more amazing-er.
Well, I guess technically it's an 8-speed because it's got reverse too. So.
Ah, ha, ha, touche.
There you go. Pretty awesome.
And this is posted on your homepage, basically.
Yeah, some crap site somewhere. I don't know.
Something blogging about cars.
Yeah, obsessively or something.
Damn it.
Yeah, I guess.
Mark that.
So, all right, guys, with that, I think we can take a quick break, plug some of our crap, and then get on with this so we can be done. So.
Unbelievable.
We're such a thorn in Craig's side.
I know. But, okay. Visit our website, roundaboutshow.com. If you go there on the homepage, you'll see in the right sidebar, there's a little dollar sign. It's green. You click on that. That takes you to the Roab Emporium. That's where we have all kinds of great stuff for sale. And the stuff is hosted on cafepress.com. And if you go to the site, you can see all of the great, awesome, stupendous Roab-branded gear that we've got. We've got things like travel coffee mugs, T-shirts, embroidered pillowcases. You're working on those right now, Michelle, right?
I am.
Okay, very good.
Working right now.
And all kinds of other great
stickers.
And Vera
Bradley.
And I don't know why it's not loading for me now. We had technical problems last
Craig,
time.
You know, this week I was sitting across the table from my mother at dinner, and I noticed my mother had on a Roab shirt.
Oh, and coolest mom ever.
Right? She owns two different versions of Roab shirts. She happened to have on one of Luke's designs that had Kath Chat.
Your namesake segment. For
always appropriate dinnerware.
Yes.
Exactly. And my daughter could not stop laughing because my mom, I think she stopped listening.
Well, that's a good
thing.
I don't know,
about episode 10 or something.
I can just imagine some little old woman, my daughter is in a podcast. I support them.
She has no idea what Kath Chat's about. And then try explain that over dinner.
I was devastated.
No, Mom, I'm going to wait till after dinner because it has to do with catheters.
What? But
wait, why is your name underneath this? And it's about catheters?
Oh, dear. So see all the fun you can have, the conversations you can strike up with people.
You can just
from the
spread that awkward, that roundabout awkward all over.
Yeah, and she went to the grocery store, and some guy that they carry the groceries out in Texas said to her, I've never seen that shirt before. Because, you know, in Texas, like they, you know, it's all like college shirts, right? Uh-huh. And she promoted the show. She actually
Michelle, your mother is awesome. God bless her.
I know.
That's awesome.
Mr. Stewart also was making the rounds. And he told his story on our fan page at facebook.com/roundaboutshow. Mm-hmm. He was wearing our Friendaroo t-shirt, which was designed by our good pal Mirko. And the girls in Hot Topic stopped him and said, ooh, kangaroos.
I'm sorry. What did they say again? I missed that.
Kangaroos. I love kangaroos.
So if he would have played his cards right, he could have got some digits.
Not if they're in middle school. You don't want their digits. Oh. Well, Eric might.
At least that's what the state of Michigan tells you.
Yes. So, yes, swing by the Roundabout Emporium. Spread the love. Enjoy the joy of the show, you know? A little redundant there. Sorry, Ben. All kinds of great stuff. Coffee mugs, beer signs, stickers, shirts. And I should add, the special fan art t-shirts will not be up for much longer. Ben has got to pull those down. They're a limited time deal. So grab your friend Aru's shirt. Grab your Kath Chat shirt before it's too late. Get in there, rustle yourself.
Are we going to start selling posters through Flickr or something with Mirko's new art? That would actually make a really cool poster, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would. Awesome. I would probably hang that in my office.
Absolutely. Explain the poster for the audio listeners, Eric.
Well, there is a certain art style that's very, I don't know, 30s through 50s Russian communist propaganda look that it's not too hard to find the stuff, but it actually is a really, really cool look. And Mirko did it. There it is. Yep, it's up on the in the video. So if you look at it, Mirko did a really good job of creating a roundabout poster, essentially.
It's
freaking awesome.
Incredible. I Ben showed that to me. I missed it. Somehow I didn't get the update in my news feed on Facebook, and Ben showed it to me. I was laughing uncontrollably for at least
I have to have Mirko do a new logo for rumblestrip.net.
What website is that? Silence.
One that probably gets about as much attention as a roundabout.
I'm so sorry.
Burn.
You totally burned me, Eric.
Ow, ow.
All right. Back on track, guys.
Just saying.
I think Eric might be the linking factor in that comparison.
I was going to say it has something to do with both of them being hosted on Squarespace, but you know.
Lame space. I mean, yeah. All right.
You diverge.
When news topics go unnoticed, are underreported, or otherwise fall off the radar, they land in our blind spot. This week we've got a doubleheader, and the stories ask one intriguing question. Who's more dangerous behind the wheel, women or the elderly? How about both?
I'm officially ducking, but I'm not in between Craig and Michelle.
So, Michelle, how dangerous are you behind the wheel?
You know what's funny is I've actually
very diplomatic.
I grew up with parents that both drove really fast, and they both still drive really fast. My driving changed completely when I got in cars with a cage. I drive
like a bird really cage in them, or
no, like racing cages.
Yes,
like okay. The GT3 RS I'll be driving tomorrow.
Woo!
Shameless plug. That's,
yeah, right. No, I actually changed the way I drive when I'm in a cage, and it changed the way I drive on the road, and I'm actually much more conservative. Like, I realize there's a difference. My parents have never been in a cage.
Mm-hmm.
They – old people – I was actually thinking about this earlier. Like,
you're being ageist, Michelle.
I am ageism. Being ageist. We talk about driver's education for young people all the time, but we don't talk about how – older people get completely, I don't know, they just like take stuff for granted and they don't realize, and cars get more and more heavy and powerful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big proponent of the idea of, like, I don't know, a standard test every 5 years that if you don't pass the test, you lose your damn license.
Market.
Absolutely. I'm so
well. There was we did the story about the lady. This was about 2 months ago. The lady who's like 91 or 89, and she's got her 1963 Falcon or something.
Yeah.
And she even said, or it was a Comet. And she's even like, yeah, I went to get my driver's license renewed. Said, okay, you're good for like 6 years. And she's like, what?
I'll be dead in 6 years.
No, it's like, how do you not know? Even she was like, I should be tested every year. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I don't think that old people should be just allowed to continue, because the fact is that car technology is changing so fast.
They should not
panel. Right.
Death.
Here's what we need: automotive death panel.
You heard it here first, folks. Michelle Naranjo, Republican from Texas, is advocating death panels.
So what do? Put them behind the wheel of the Ranger, and if they can live, they...
if they don't get asphyxiated by the fumes, then... Yeah. But anyway, the reason I brought up the elderly and women drivers is because our first story here... Again, we've got a doubleheader for Blind Spot. Our first story is comes from the Associated Press via the Star Tribune, oddly enough, out of Minneapolis-St. Paul, Minnesota. But I digress.
About a story in Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Actually, Plainsfield Township.
Yeah, that's called Kalamazoo.
Actually, it says Plainsfield Township.
You guys are talking about nowhere land to the rest of the world.
Hey, it's Kalamazoo. True. It's where Elvis lives.
It's the other part of Walla Walla, Washington, too.
Anyway.
It's opening day, kids.
Can I finish?
No.
Tigers.
Please.
Ben, where's the sound effect? He Didn't have it queued up.
No, I didn't. Move on.
An 82-year-old woman accidentally crashed her car through the front window of a Southwest Michigan salon. Authorities say Marion Zock was parking her Ford Fusion on Thursday outside Classic Hair Design in Kent County's Plainfield Township near Grand Rapids when she stepped on the accelerator instead of the brake. Two people were injured, including an employee who returned to work after treatment and a girl with a bruised arm. Zock told Wood TV or WOOD TV.
W-O-O-D.
What an unfortunate name.
I know. W-O, is that W-O-O-D like
yes,
wood?
Yes.
Or W-O overdose
TV? Do you think they go like...
No, W-O-O-D. It's out of Grand Rapids.
Okay. Zock told Wood TV her foot slipped from the brake. She's a regular customer and says she was so embarrassed. Stylist Christy Dockod told WWMT-TV, the crash sounded like an explosion. The salon stayed open as the car was removed, as it is open during repairs.
If this had been a Toyota, would this be another unintended acceleration?
Well, yes, I think this is the classic unintended acceleration.
Depends.
Right here.
If it was John McElroy reporting, maybe.
Oh, Michelle, you can't trash talk our employer. That is...
I am not trash talking. I'm just saying.
She's saying trash talking.
You know what?
She's saying that... that
you're done here. Cut her mic.
Yes.
We'll do it live!
Marion Zock might have had on her cross-country boots, right?
No, she actually, the article says she was wearing her snowshoes. So there you go. But so the article says she
inside baseball. No,
she drove through the front window of the salon, but then she stayed behind to get her hair done because it's so important to get your
wash and set.
Exactly.
And your blue hair dye.
Mm-hmm. So, okay. That was the first half.
And Michelle would have done the same, but not if she was in a race car.
Because she changes the way she drives when she's in a birdcage.
Yeah.
So our next story, another woman behind the wheel. All right, brace yourself for this one. This one comes courtesy of the Morning Call. Not sure what that means.
Is that like Morning Joe?
Yes.
A bird.
That only works when Colin Bird is on from the Other Bird Pod, the Grizzly Bird Podcast, I think it's called. Anyway, I digress. An 89-year-old woman nearly ran over her husband Tuesday in their Bethlehem house, but the man was protected by his metal walker. Is that funny or what?
What kind of car were they using? A golf cart?
Sure.
I just have this excellent picture of this guy, like, fending off a
bull. Like a lion. He's got a bull whip. His walker.
Did he have tennis balls, like, on the end?
You always see those guy tennis from balls. Up. Stuck on the end. So I guess it looks like the woman put the car in drive, then mistook the brake for the gas, just like Marion Zock did. Sped forward and knocked down her 90-year-old husband who was standing in the garage. Terrifying. Sherwood Cota, was protected from the full weight of the car because he was wedged beneath his metal walker.
Those are aluminum.
I know. Sure. How did that stop a car?
Yeah, but they're like NASA-grade aluminum, right? That's what they tell you.
Not quite.
It's medical-grade aluminum.
Stuff they told your medical grandma, grade, yeah. Zach?
My grandmother's dead.
Zach used to sell used medical equipment in college. That's how he put himself through college. So he knows
only one of them, Michelle. Don't worry about it.
But for the grace of God.
Mm-hmm. Did you guys read the last line of this story?
I haven't read the story, period, so no.
I am not surprised, so I'll do it for you, Zach. About once a month, Bethlehem police respond to a call of an elderly driver who mistakes the brake pedal for the gas pedal.
And no one's concerned about this?
What do you know?
So who's more dangerous behind the wheel, women, elderly drivers, or both? Good question, me.
I don't think this has anything to do with women. I don't know.
I'm just being incendiary.
There was a guy that killed like 20 people with his Douglas Saber.
Yeah, there was the guy in Venice, California, near me, like right up the road.
I know, right?
And he killed all those people in the farmer's market because he mistook his gas pedal for a brake pedal. And, I mean, I don't think this is gender. I think this is actually more along the lines of older drivers
suck.
Who really need to be tested.
I just need to stay home and watch National
Matlock
or something.
Matlock
and Judge Wapner reruns.
But sorry to also follow. This reminded me to follow up on a story we did a few weeks ago where the
garbage truck driver looked down and killed four motorcyclists.
Oh, I heard that.
They're asking for trouble on two wheels.
Yeah, it turns out that he had been doing meth earlier in the day.
Nice!
They blame that meth on global everything, global warming. And
meth on global warming?
Yes.
That one I have not heard.
It's true.
Which is almost as bad as we find out that in Holland, that if you drive a Carlsberg beer truck, that you're allowed to drink on the job.
Naturally.
Lucky Dutch.
They have breathalyzers built in, so if you've had too much, it won't start. But
isn't that weird? All right. So blind spot, done. Old people are dangerous behind the wheel, although they're great for entertaining you with stories of the Great Depression, but terrible in a car. Moving along, it's time to talk about what we've had in the garage this week. Block Ford. Listen to that thing purr.
Can smell those opera windows.
Zach?
Yeah?
You're supposed to get angry. He mentioned opera windows.
No, I'm all right.
I'm over it, frankly. All right. So, big news.
He's just loading his guns.
Can you shoot us through Skype, Ben? I'm concerned. Ben?
Yeah,
did you have another stroke?
Sorry, I didn't realize that merited a real response. My mistake.
Ben has these mini strokes throughout the day. Doctors don't know what's causing it. He'll just slump over, drool on himself. Anyway.
He's hemorrhaging from blatant rage.
Yep. So, okay, the big news, the new Ford Mustang, 2011 Mustang. Michelle, you drove it. Eric? No. Jeff, you drove it too. So what do you guys think?
You know,
don't all
Jeff,
talk at
I
once.
Actually had, Jeff Mudd actually asked me a really interesting question this morning. He asked Mudd, our own real Mudd Monster, right?
Genuine Mudd Monster on Twitter, right?
No, real Mudd Monster on Twitter.
Sorry.
He asked me if I would trade my Z3 Coupe on a Mustang. And I kind of like, I was on my way and I was in a taxi and I was like, you know, okay, you know, I can sit back here and answer a question. And I said, yeah, you know, I would actually trade my Z3 Coupe in on a 5.0.
Right.
Oh, much God. Much to my drive partner's chagrin, because he kind of criticized me for coasting up a hill in fourth gear. But then again, I have to say, like, if I was given a choice between like a 5.0 and a
5.0, oh my God.
And an M coupe?
No.
I'd probably take the M coupe.
M coupe. Yeah.
M coupe. But I have like a huge weak spot where with Mustangs. I mean, I've driven them my entire life.
You love the power of a thoroughbred, Michelle. I think that's what it is. Riding bareback.
Oh man.
Like, you'd like to think so, and I'm sure that carries you through week to week,
Craig. Oh. So anyway, what'd you think of the 5-liter, Michelle? Or let's start with the V6. What'd you guys think of that, first of all? 305 horsepower.
Go ahead, Jeff, because, I mean, we both drove.
I was more impressed with the improvements in the V6 model than the GT. I think that's where more customers are going to buy. Anyone who's buying a GT is going to buy a GT because they love Mustang GTs. The Mustang V6 is, I think, where they're going to be able to draw in more unique buyers who will someday step up to a GT. So I think the V6 is more important to them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I got to say, 305 horsepower, 280 torque out of that 3.7 V6. You don't really need the V8. That thing had plenty of performance.
I really can't wait to see what the tuners are going to do with that engine. Because, you know, a little bit of forced induction and you're well into 5.0 territory.
Oh, well past 5.0.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that should be exciting.
Yeah. I mean, and it's a smooth running engine. Great fuel economy, up to 31 on the highway. It was a blast to drive. I mean, no complaints out of me for that engine. Sounded good too.
I agree. It did sound. I mean, well, and, you know, the thing is, you have to remember this is manufactured sound at this point, because they're like piping the sound back into the cab. On both the cars, the V6 and the V8, because the way they move the engines in order to make them more fuel efficient. So it's kind of, you know, not many people are going to really understand that, but who cares? But yeah. It makes a difference to me because it is manufactured. The V6 is good enough. Like, it's good enough for me. The V8, I had this kind of feeling of like, really, why does anybody need this?
What?
Like, it's
wait, you
it's,
just say, wait a minute. How are you saying what when you just said the V6 is?
I said need, not want.
Yeah, I actually, and I had somebody say to me, like, what, you want to like make alcohol and tobacco like illegal? Like, this is ridiculous. The V8 is almost, it's so much, actually.
What terrifies, that's the thing. I mean, as cheap as that car is, and to have that much power is kind of ridiculous. I mean, I've got to agree with Michelle. I mean, you know, people are going to be buying these cars for their kids, you know, for their yeah. first car. And that's mm-hmm. kind of terrifying. You're about to go Cylon, Michelle.
Yep.
Okay, I'm fine.
All right. But okay, let's talk about the 5 liter since we've arrived.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Could I be adopted by the family that's going to buy me a $31,000 car for my first car, please? That's
get in line, buddy.
That's
get
the starting line. Price. I paid
my parents $300 for a 72 Chevy Impala coupe for my first car. Okay, and it was a family. We had it in the family, mm-hmm. and I had to pay to take.
Down.
Yeah, and I had to pay my father. So that I could own the car.
And I had to drive it to school uphill, both ways, in the snow, barefoot.
It's called responsibility, Eric.
Anyway.
I think I must have been the last responsible person in the freaking U.S. then.
True. Okay.
I said frickin'.
Oh, sorry.
Retract that, huh?
So
Ben.
Frick you. Frackhead.
You might as well just jump in there, Eric. I mean,
all right, 5.0. I thought that engine was absolutely a wonderful, awesome engine.
Delightful.
Loved it. What?
Delightful.
It was simply delightful.
Was it orgasmic?
Yes. Just the sound. It's got this beautiful sound.
Did you bounce it off the 7,000 RPM rev limiter?
I did. Beautiful. I'm sure you guys have seen the clips.
During the drive, when they had you going through the tunnels, did you rev it?
Yep. Yes. Yeah. I did. We had I flew out there with our producer, Chip, and we did some video stuff. And we took it through. We had to go to the airport because Delta damaged our tripod, so we had to show it to them and sign all kinds of paperwork. And
Delta sucks, really? Yeah. No.
Any airline sucks? No. But so on our way away from the airport, we were going through some tunnels, and that's when I revved it up a lot. And some guy in like a Prius was honking at me. Stop wasting fuel.
Mission accomplished.
Well, I don't know. I mean, did you see my video that I did of my co-driver with the V8?
No. What did he do?
Jack was serenading her.
Well, no. I mean, Jack was going through the passes through Pleasant Valley. He was going through those blind turns.
Oh, no. One of those guys.
With the rock slides and, you know, single lane, passing 4 and 5 cars at a time. And I'm not going to say how fast he was going.
90?
20?
I'm pretty sure it was more than that.
Yeah. We had a guy chase us down.
In the CRV? Is that what?
Yeah, in the CRV. And, like, start screaming at us. But, you know, I couldn't have driven it like that. Honestly, like, I would be, like, cruising, like I may have had fun on the flats.
Mm-hmm.
But there's, a car that, like, given somebody that, like, thinks they have some ability, and, mm-hmm. you know, Jack does, honestly, he does, but... I mean, I threw up afterwards, but that's another thing.
Well, that's because you have an eating disorder, Michelle.
What they should do is encourage people to start doing track days.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
So the moral of the story, 5 liter, freaking rocked.
The one thing I'm interested in finding out, because everyone talked about how great the suspension is and how you really can't even tell it's a solid rear axle.
It does swing. The butt swings. Mm.
I didn't. I had one little kick from it when I was going over some really rutted pavement in an intersection. That was it.
But I traded some tweets with the kids from Automobile Magazine, and I'm trying to get them to get an M3 to compare it to, because if you look at it, they're, you know, similar horsepower. The Mustang weighs less, and the Mustang is half as much. I'm just curious.
Mustang.
I just last week I had the Camaro SS, so it was still fresh in my mind about the GT, and for as much crap that people give the Mustang for the solid rear axle, mm-hmm. it definitely handles better.
Well, they had that autocross set up at the event. What'd you think of that?
That was the V6.
I know, but still, it's the suspension. They had the equivalent Camaro V6 is available to drive.
Did you guys catch the thing that Inside Line ran with the comparison between the V6 Mustang and the V6 Camaro?
Mm-hmm.
It was ridiculous how much better the Mustang performed compared to the Camaro. And, you know, V8 to V8, I think those numbers are probably going to translate pretty well.
Okay.
Wasn't like half a second quicker to 60 or something, or almost half a second?
Yeah, it's always a half a second at least. So what is the deal? Why are these Camaro guys so Camaro? Like, why do they think this car with no visibility, it is slower? Why are they doing this? Why are these guys so diehard?
They can relive their youth.
No, they've been indoctrinated by the dead milkmen.
But bitch Camaro. But they're spouting right.
Eric's
they're spouting a bunch of bullshit. Oh, sorry. When they haven't even driven the competition. I mean, it's just
that goes
like,
back to like ages ago, though. Everyone,
right? So why haven't they grown out of it?
You are aware how half of this country votes, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just
she's one of those people.
They're not like me.
And the other half votes the same way.
That's right. It's blind faith. You know, it's why Coke people like
Eric
Coke
Clapton,
and Pepsi people
Steve
like Pepsi.
Winwood.
Well, I'll just say, like, at my core, I'm a Mopar guy. I would love to get an old Mopar. I could never afford it, so I'll probably get a Camaro if I.
Better than the you like the Camaro better than the Mustang?
The new ones? No, I like the Mustang better.
You're talking vintage.
Every generation before this, I've always liked the Camaros better.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you know what's funny is our little fan Misadventurer on chat here is he's a big guy. Like I'd say he's like 6'4".
Husky
at least
fella.
He's a big guy. And before I went on the Mustang event, he was telling me on the phone like why he won't drive a Mustang, because he says the Camaros fit him better. But every person I've ever spoken to who is over 6 foot tall has told me that Mustangs don't fit them. And this guy will still sit there and tell you that a Camaro fits him.
He just did, in fact, in the chat.
Right.
The only problem I had with the Camaro, like the first time I got in it.
But he hasn't driven it. He has not driven it. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't driven it.
That's the pot calling the kettle.
Because the weirdest part about the new Camaro is the roof actually comes down over the side, which makes not easy entry. If you look at an old Camaro, the sides slope up, the windows slope up, and you can get out so easily. If they added T-tops to the new Camaro, I think it'd be
80s.
Cool. I would love that. Or even like the Corvette's target top. I mean,
I would rather see T-tops. I think that would be pretty ballsy for any manufacturer to come back with T-tops right now.
I mean,
that would just reek of, you know, just balls out you world. I brought the T-tops back. You know?
But I mean, wasn't that the best idea? Jeep technically has T-tops. The Wrangler.
Yeah.
All right. So, Mustang, pretty nice car, in my opinion, of course. Got to love the 5-liter, great V6 as well.
I'm hoping to get one in July.
V6?
And either one.
It's a great car.
Anything.
That's
please.
When, God, I can't think of his name over at Ford, so they're refreshing the
fleet.
The fleet.
Turning it over.
Yeah.
Cool. So, cool. Brace yourself. It's time for another installment of Meet Your Roadmates. Who's driving that Jeep Liberty next to you? Why do Nissan Sentra owners always work at Coney Islands? Each week, Meet Your Roadmates answers these burning questions and more. Ben, it's all you. Fire up your supercomputer, your decision engine.
All right. It's been a little rusty, so let me see here.
apples.
God damn this thing. Son of a... There we go. Come on. Aha. All right. Let's pick our first one.
What's it going to be?
Focus?
No, my car sounds huskier than that. But a good deal.
Aha. Our first one is a 1979 GMC Jimmy. Who would drive a 1979 GMC Jimmy?
No one. Next car.
What are you talking about?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You guys,
those things are awesome.
My dad Jimmy's. Drove us down the Baja in one of those.
Did you come back?
Yes. I'm here.
Still broadcasting from Mexico in the burnt out shell. GMC Jimmy.
No, this is the old Jimmy, not like the four-door.
It's still a horrible name for a vehicle.
We're not talking about the name. We're talking about the car.
It's a horrible vehicle.
Jimmy. So it was essentially a Blazer is what you're...
A K5 Blazer with a removable hardtop. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Who would drive this car? Zach Bowman. Somebody. That's who'd drive this car.
I was just going to say someone around Knoxville.
Or Jacksonville. Right?
I think this is third country down here.
It's like the vanilla flavor of the Scout, basically, is what that is. It's because they produce so many of them.
Well, it doesn't have a skull and crossbones on it.
That's true.
You know, my dad just pissed me off and my brother off the entire time we had that thing. Because he would never take the top off because he was convinced that if he did, it would squeak when he put it back on.
You probably need a forklift to lift it off because if memory serves, it was like 600 pounds or something like that.
Okay, you know what? Let me give you. Okay, we had this thing.
Story time.
We'd come home. Yeah, it's a little bit of story time.
The first time Daddy dumped us in the desert.
No, we'd been at the lake for the weekend, and we came home with the boat, and my dad backed the boat into the garage, and. You know, the hitch was like sticking out the garage door, and my dad lowered the garage door as far as the hitch, but he like put the hitch up on these concrete blocks in the night. We got in the middle of the night,
mm-hmm.
And so the next morning, my mom was like, because my parents never made us go to school, like. Unless they had to, but then when they had to, they kind of like would
truancy. You know,
like, my mom is chronically late and all that stuff. So she threw my brother and I in the thing, the Jimmy, and like, you know, we're supposed to like get going because we're late because my mom overslept. And she like hit it, not realizing that in the middle of the night, the concrete blocks my dad had put on the trailer. That was sticking out from underneath the garage door had disintegrated from the weight of the boat. My mom pulled the boat through the garage door.
Yes, that is some carnage right there.
Because the Jimmy had so much power. Like,
or
my
your
mom,
garage is made of cardboard.
Right, my mom either just way. Hit it, and like we have these great pictures.
The next day, christened that boat the Kool-Aid Man. Yeah.
That is funny right there, Zach. Okay, Ben, what's our next vehicle?
Let me see.
Disappointment on wheels, I'm sure.
Aha! A 1995 Pontiac Sunfire. How could you do better than that? A 1995 Pontiac Sunfire. Who would drive it?
Oh, God.
Go.
Speaking of Sunfire. Kill it with fire. Good Lord. $900 someone wants for this thing?
Sun chicken.
Well, I can tell you who drives one of these. I have a friend who drives a four-door version that she has nursed all the way through college. Like, she got it her senior year of high school.
Holy crap.
And she just refuses to give it up. She has some misguided loyalty to this raging piece of shit.
Does she think Taylor Swift is talented?
I don't know.
It definitely is a girl's car, though.
Oh yeah,
it is a girl car. That's
it's like the first. It's like the first car for a girl, and then they move up to the BMW 3 Series.
Oh, I thought you were going to say an Oldsmobile Alero,
or a Honda. They move to an Accord and never look back, or a Camry. You know, this is the car for someone who doesn't realize that there are other cars out there. You know, Like, they've never driven anything else. They're just like, well, you know, I mean, this drives the rest of the cars must drive just like this. Right?
It has a cold air intake system.
Yeah.
The spoiler on these things always made me laugh.
I know.
Because this is right about the time the Dodge Stealth was looking really cool. And I'm like, oh, that's a cool spoiler on the Stealth, but not so much on the Sunfire, guys.
Missed it by that
much. No spoiler can be as cool as the two-tiered one on the SVO Mustang.
It's true.
What? No. Well,
hey,
of course, it was also on the Mercury XR4 Ti, so.
Well, that's fine.
What about the spoiler on the Daytona, Charger Daytona?
Or the ACR Viper, where you can actually stand on it? That's pretty awesome.
So speaking of dumb spoilers, I'm sorry, there's the video which is starting to float around from Redline Track Attack out at Willow Springs. Somebody has this like Can-Am, like 60s Can-Am spoiler on the, you know, and it sticks up about 7 feet off the roof of this car. And I think it's like a, I want to say it's a Toyota or a Scion or something.
Oh,
like
no. That car is fucking awesome.
Is it?
That car is ridiculously fast. Yeah, he's got the spoilers on the front and rear.
Yeah.
I don't remember the guy's name, but it's an insane car.
I saw the picture. I'm like, okay, it better be fast if it looks like that.
You should spend some time on the YouTubes for that sucker. It's, okay.
It needs to look like a shopping cart in order to be faster?
Well, he put the front spoiler on there to, you know, increase his downforce on the front because he was putting so much power to the front wheels.
It was a deer scoop.
Right. And it's just this ridiculous-looking contraption, but it supposedly works. I mean, I think he's set a couple of records with it, so hats off to him.
Did you see that the Kia Soul that has that cool spoiler kit?
No.
So, what's our next vehicle?
Wow.
It took me a little bit longer to paste it than I thought it was going to. It's in the chat.
All right, let's see.
It was Kia the sound Soul of heartbreak Air. From Jeff Ross.
wait, Jeff, wow. Thank you. You killed the conversation instead of me.
Yay.
Ding, thank ding, you. Ding.
Sound of Jeff pouring himself a tall one right there.
Anyway, if you didn't read it, it's an April Fool's joke from last year from Kia. I mean, it just took me longer to post it on the chat than I thought it was going to.
It's hard to go Control-C, Control-V.
You only had 30 episodes.
Yeah. The gerbils are not cooperating with the interwebs connection here at the Roundabout Studios.
So there
it
is.
Hey, I've got another car.
Hey, Ben.
That's called giving it the spurs right there.
Gah!
What have you got for us, Benjamin?
All right, so our final... Oh, this is also a 1995.
Oh, that's a 1995 good year. That was a good year.
Chevrolet Astro Tiara Royal Star Conversion Van. Oh, yes.
You sure can pick them, Ben.
Thank you.
Computer
pick them.
Well, he's manipulating the computer, you know.
Oh, my God, I'd so have that.
What? Why?
Well, we answer.
Why? Why? Why?
Why?
Why? All right, Tanya Harding, or not Nancy Kerrigan.
I'll tell you.
If it's not funny the first time, just keep repeating it.
Because I would love to I've always wanted one of those tab campers. Right? The tab pull-on campers. Like something like that. Like I could put the surfboards on, put the dogs in, go stay at one of the public beaches here in California for a weekend. Like, that's awesome.
No, it's not. You've clearly never driven one of those. My mother.
I have brought one of these vans to its governor at 110.
Well, God bless you for surviving, Zach.
I got you beat there, Zachary.
All right, hit.
We were driving back from Birch Run ages ago.
Michigan, that's a big outlet mall in Michigan.
And if you're ever there, eat at Tony's. But
pound of bacon.
No, get the vanilla milkshake and the three tubs of ice cream and the banana split. But anyways, so we're coming back from Bertrand. We're driving my friend's mom's Ford Econoline conversion van. Conversion van.
What does this have to do with the Chevy Astro?
Listen, it's conversion van.
Okay.
So I'm driving, And then I said, I don't want to drive anymore. She's like, all right, I'll switch. So we're doing 80 down 75, we switch.
No.
Because it's got the high roof. You can do that.
But it's dangerous.
Hey, that's why they call me Danger Mouse.
Danger Mouse.
No one calls you that.
It's something right, I'm trying to start. Shut up.
I know who drives this van. Ben, in 20 years.
Ouch.
Why?
Dad in the chat is not going to like that.
Why?
Why would you say such a horrible thing?
I just get that feeling. Those wheels are you, man. Those wheels are you.
Oh, dig the lights lighting on the inside.
Look at that, huh? It's like a discotheque.
Yeah, listen to yourself now. Yeah.
You could update those with some LEDs.
It's got an AM/FM cassette radio.
Persian rug. Gauges. All right.
A tailpipe.
He does have a Persian rug in it.
Wait, was this in dirt? Never mind.
These vans. My mother owned two GMC Safaris. I believe an 89 and then a 95. These things are absolutely atrocious to drive, to own, to fuel.
Well, like they'll also decapitate you if you get into a front-end collision.
Yes, I was going to bring up the crash ratings, or rather the lack of, because they are death traps if you hit anything.
The front seats just detach from the the floorboard completely, and they'd cut your head right off.
Yeah, it's
right
called off. The Widowmaker.
Yep. 1995 Chevy Widowmaker.
Yep. I would actually buy it if it were called the Widowmaker. The Astro is a little bit of a turnoff.
Or a Safari.
Oh boy, Rastro. It's a Rastro.
What do you drive? A Widowmaker.
Widowmaker 9000. It's the extended version.
Tiara doesn't do
it's
it for you.
It's a conversion. No,
the back seats turn into a bed, you know.
The Tiara just Royal saying. Star.
Sounds like one of the cars on Mario Kart.
Yeah, I remember that dash.
It's Tiara.
You know, the back seats turn into a bed if you want to check it out sometime. Just saying.
Are you asking Eric into a conversion van?
No.
Yeah, right?
I know, right? No.
Ooh, no. It's even in kilometers an hour.
Ooh. Hey, that's a luxury. GM was on the ball in the 90s. People didn't realize
it. I had the same dash in my I had the same dash in my 92 Sonoma.
Wow, that's smart engineering if you can spread the cost around on different vehicles, you know. Anyway, that'll just about do it for this week's show.
But warning!
Crap!
Warning!
Someone's calling us on the Roundabout Hotline.
We've never had a call.
That's at 559 ROAB 411.
Shit! What do I do?
Quick, Ben, answer.
What do I do?
We don't want them to miss it. They might not remember the number to call. 559 ROAB 411.
Shoot!
Answer, Ben.
Ignore.
Well, it'll get the answer machine.
He's got it on vibrate next to his crotch.
Here. I think I got it.
All right.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello? I need to take you off mute. Okay.
Just wanted to tell you I found your podcast from Miss Motormouth being on Autobird.
Good.
Autobird had
that's great.
The administrator over at GMI Inside News. And this networking that you guys are doing is working because I'm into these podcasts. I'm 50 and not technically savvy like you young guys, but I'm enjoying the podcast. I bought myself an iPod Touch, and as I'm cruising around in my vet with my kid and the top off, I got one ear plug in where I'm listening to your podcast, and I'm enjoying going over all your various shows. So thanks to Miss Motormouth for being on in another show. I was able to catch up. So my question is, what's your favorite cause? Right now I own a 08 Vet Z51 manual and a all-wheel drive FE2 silver CTS, and they're both cool. But I was just curious, are you guys digging this whole dual-clutch revolution going on at Ford Motor Company? When are they going to drop one of those into a Mustang? And is Chrysler coming out with dual clutches for the 300 and Dodge Charger SRT8? I love driving a stick shift, but going to the autocrosses and talking to the guys with BMWs, the guys with the SMGs are always faster than the guys with a 6-speed. So I know technology is just beating the hell out of us no matter how many years we have experience driving sticks. So it's better than an automatic because it doesn't have that torque converter, that syrupy feel. and it's just lightning fast. Ferrari's got it. Porsche's got it. The new Boxster and Cayman S are cool. So what other cars are getting that technology? Again, I'm digging your podcasts. A lot of cool personalities on there. And thanks again to Miss Motormouth for sharing the information of where you guys were. Have a good one. Thank you.
Yeah, I need a double lodge with some extra sauce and triple pepperoni.
Eric, how about you don't offend our viewers?
Yeah,
our listeners.
Our only viewer. Although I have to say, you know, Michelle needs a raise. You know, yeah. She's bringing people in.
Michelle, God bless her. Her milkshake brings all the boys to the podcast.
Oh, please.
Well, apparently he hasn't heard the rumor that I'm a lesbian.
Well, do we need a new segment?
Craig, yes. I know you don't know that one because everyone's got to be protected, but apparently that's the latest rumor about me.
How did that get started, I wonder? Anyway, that was, Ben, that was Jonathan Brown, correct?
Yes, Mr. Jonathan Brown out of New Jersey. Mm-hmm. So, New Jersey. Thanks for calling, Jonathan.
He's got a pretty sweet collection of rides there, the all-wheel drive CTS and the Corvette Z51. Not too shabby.
I'd take either of those cars. I love a CTS.
Jonathan is a frequent caller to the Autoline After Hours show.
Absolutely. Isn't he like the number one call-in guy, isn't he, Ben? He's the man.
He is the man.
Yeah.
He's the man with the plan, so... What do you guys think? How do you answer his question?
Are we talking about favorite cars that are being sold right now or favorite cars in general?
I would say favorite new cars, to keep it honest.
All right. Yeah, well, I'm going to have to go last. I don't know about them. Right,
Eric, why don't you start us off?
Brand new cars. All right. There will be three.
Just rapid fire.
Rapid fire? Yeah, so that means I should take 3 minutes? Sorry, that's a very Autoline After Hours joke. It would be the Raptor with the 6.2.
Mm-hmm.
It would be the Veet new 5-liter Mustang. And then I would have to go with probably either a Cayenne or a Boxster.
Good choices. Michelle, what about you?
You know, I'm going to have to agree with Eric on his first two. The Raptor, the new Raptor, absolutely love that truck so much.
I'm sorry, Cayman, not Cayenne. Cayman.
You like the big SUV, do you? Sorry. Yeah.
The 5.0 Mustang, of course, because I'm just a Mustang girl. And then I'm going to go with like that BMW Z I drive and can't freaking figure out the rest of the name thing.
The Z4 based one?
S drive 35 IS 47 Pi derivative. Yeah. Lots of names. Jeff, what about you? What are your choices?
I will go a little bit different. I'm going to say the Hummer H3T.
Ooh, good call. Alpha?
Four Flex with EcoBoost.
Oh, yeah. That's
Cadillac CTS-V.
Yeah.
Those are good
choices. Good choices. I've got – what's that, Michelle?
We only have to pick three, really?
Well, technically,
well no, as many as you want, but – All right. My top choices, I would have to agree with Eric and Michelle. 5.0 Mustang. Awesome car. Awesome car. And affordable, too. That's part of the reason it's so cool.
Yeah.
I'd love a Corvette. I'd love a CTS-V. Those are excellent vehicles as well. But if I had to choose other cars, I'd go with Audi. I love Audis because of the clean styling. I didn't judge you, Jeff.
But that wasn't me.
Well, I'm going to blame you, Zach.
Oh, sad trombone.
Me either.
All right. Who can guffaw at the Audi R8? Come on.
I can guffaw at your choice of Audi R8s.
Good thing Banowski's
not. All right, Eric Banowski.
All right, moving along. Nobody
Audi
else
R8 is amazing.
You're going to say no because you're going to say, I only need the V8.
You don't need the V10, Eric.
Oh, God damn it. We've heard this argument before.
Yeah. All right, Zach, your picks.
I didn't finish.
All right, okay.
You're done.
We're done here. Okay, come fine. On. Cut me off.
All right.
Zach. Can't finish.
Thank you, Ben. Zach, what are your choices?
All right, well, I was going to say Raptor 2, but since that's been more than covered, I'm going to have to go with the ZR1, Corvette ZR1. I'm going to go with the Subaru WRX STI and the Lotus Exige, just nice because choice. I've always wanted an Exige.
You danced to the beat of a different drummer there.
Zach, just
he likes
to say.
Things he can put in his pocket.
Like a leprechaun.
All right. Okay. We did the modern vehicles. Quick, one old vehicle for each of us. Eric, what about you? Old time. Can be any.
1953 Studebaker Gold. Golden Hawk?
Yep, that's right.
Zach, what about you?
I would like an Acura NSX.
Of course. Good choice. Jeff?
59 Eldorado.
Cool. Michelle?
You know, I had such a good time this week. I was driving my mom's 1950 MGTD.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Nice.
And I have to say, like, it's frickin' fun and stupid at the same time.
All right.
But I loved it. So,
for my choice, I'd choose anything the Ford Flathead V8. There you go. Maybe a 50 Merc sport sedan. I know, Eric, you want the two-door. I'd like the sedan. It's got the suicide doors. So there you
go. It's pretty hot.
I know. I'm not going to lie. In black with the nice moon caps. What are the moon spinner? The
moon
smoothies.
Moon discs. Thank you. Yes. I like those. Anyway, he was also asking about dual clutch transmissions. We can do this really quick. We know Ford is coming out with it, the Fiesta. Chrysler, I know, is also developing it. I think they had a joint venture with Getrag.
Well, both Ferrari and Lamborghini just announced that they will no longer be doing manual transmissions. We'll be going exclusively to dual clutch transmissions.
I mean, they're more efficient. They shift faster. They're probably better for fuel economy. But
yep.
I don't care how good they are. I want to stick. And
that was exactly my argument. I wrote a quick piece for Hooniverse.com, and my sole argument was that if I'm paying that much for a freaking car, it's going to be what I want, and what I want is a manual transmission.
God bless the manual. I mean, there's you're a part of driving the car. You are
it's visceral.
Exactly. You just no amount of automation is ever going to deliver that experience, and I think we're going to come to a day in, 20 years where you won't be able to buy a manual, and that's going to be sad because everything's going to be hybrid or electric or whatever. And that's going to be a tragic day for enthusiasts. And a whole generations of Americans in particular are growing up ignorant to the manual, How many people today can drive one?
Can we get the national anthem in the background real quick?
Please.
It's not visceral, Eric. It's a tangible experience. And I helped a friend and her husband a couple of years ago. Like, he was looking for a BMW, and he in the LA area could not get the BMW he wanted with a manual. And that is like a sad day. Like, what happens where the manufacturers are actually we have the big McDonald's and the Coke people telling them how they should design the inside of the car, right?
For our fat asses and our big gulps.
Right. But they're not listening to the actual drivers, and they're not hearing that people really want that experience.
Well, maybe 5% of people.
Yeah, I mean, I've read that it's as high as 10%. But, I mean, the thing is, the people that want a manual transmission – aren't the people that are able to go out and buy a new car,
But it may be as high as 10%, but those are the people that are going to talk up the car. They're the people that are going to talk up the brand.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually been remarkably fortunate on the press cars I've gotten. A majority of them have been manual transmissions.
Well, you're at the big name publication now, so.
Kind of surprised me. Well, yeah. We'll talk about that later.
So Jonathan Brown in New Jersey, thank you for your call. We appreciate that you're listening and that you found the Roundabout Show. That's awesome. And Michelle, thank you for, spreading us around.
Two-timing.
Yeah. And we hope you call back again, Jonathan. All right, so before this thing drags on any longer than the Cold War, we're already at an hour and something, hour and 20 minutes, let's move on to our tip of the week and wrap things up here. Ben, sound effect?
I thought you were going to cut that.
Oh. We can cut
it. You already said
Ding.
We're ending the show.
All right.
You just kept
very
on
brief,
sallying
very brief.
Forth.
We'll keep it very brief. My tip of the week is use anti-seize if you're putting car parts back together. Zach, I'm sure you have experience with things rusting to other things.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I just had an incident with the Spitfire. The car that I have is excellent because it's not very rusted. It was stored inside for like 20 some odd years. But at the water pump housing, where one of the bolts goes through the water pump, it happened to be the one that holds on the alternator bracket as well, or the generator bracket in this car's case. And it was seized. It was completely seized in place. And it was one of those things where, you know, I had to drill it out. And and even then I couldn't get the housing to come loose, so I had to beat it off the car.
Torch it.
That's the worst. The reason I put this in here as our tip of the week is because I actually cannot check the air filter on my car because the bolts have seized. What is on the Focus is a two-part – I drive a 2002 Ford Focus. There's a two-part assembly. Obviously, there's a bottom half and a top half. And rather than like spring clips or something or latches like a lot of automakers use, so it's, you don't need tools to check the filter, the Focus has four bolts, boom, 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 one in each corner of that top housing. And those thread down into the bottom housing, and what they've done is they've pressed this – it's a splined little metal part that's threaded in the middle, and the top bolts go into that. And I guess over time they've corroded, rusted a little bit, and now what's happened is as you try to undo the bolts from the top, that splined collar is slipping inside of the plastic housing because the bolt is seized.
PB Blaster, my friend. PB Blaster.
I tried that. Right. I've got a
Dremel tool.
Yeah. So
I'm surprised you haven't ditched that in favor of a cold air there.
Well, you see, cold air is usually hot air sucking right from under the engine bay. But what I've worked out is my own Ram Air cold air system with dryer vent, and it actually works very
come
well.
On. Sorry.
Just take out one of the headlights and put
great.
Right there.
I did see. I wanted to keep two headlights because, you know, it would kind of be illegal to not have two headlights.
What was that old car that had a headlight right in the middle?
The Tucker.
Yeah.
Tucker. Yeah.
Anyway, use anti-seize, and you'll thank yourself later when you have to do other repairs. That's our tip of the week, and with that, we can wrap up this week's show, roundabout episode number 30. Michelle Naranjo.
Chris got other things to do.
Yes, he does. He's got to go to the Apple store and check out the iPad. Lust after some more. Anyway, Michelle Naranjo from, I guess, El Paso, Texas. I don't know where you are now, but.
Quick, Craig, the train's leaving.
Like our listeners.
My train's going. Bye.
Michelle. Hop in that empty box car and run.
So thank you, Michelle, for joining us as always. You are a valuable asset to the show. You bring wonderful insight. We appreciate
you. You're an asset yourself.
Oh, thank you.
MissMotormouth.com.
Yep. MingleMedia.tv. You do a show every Tuesday evening. What?
Yeah, MingleMediaTV.com.
Sorry,
MingleMediaTV.com /MissMotormouth.html.
/home.
Yeah, I just MingleMediaTV.com is fine. I'm on Tuesdays.
9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. You do a little chat type thing, right?
Yeah, apparently.
Apparently.
But like live with video. So.
And other people too. It's like a social type thing.
It's like a cluster. Oh.
I'm going to bleep that.
Beep.
Thank you, Michelle.
Yep. Eric Tritko, as always, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Rumblestrip.net.
.net, blog.webridestv.com.
Right. You're spreading around
this
too.
Week.
And twitter.com/rumblestrip.
Great having you on, as always.
Well, I'm sorry, Jeff, what was that?
You got it right this week.
Yes, I did.
blog.org.tv, webrides. Yep.
Enough, Craig.
Jeffrey Ross, Jacksonville, Florida, autotropolis.com. You working on anything good? What's going on?
Hopefully I'll be driving the 911 GT3 RS tomorrow.
Awesome.
Unfortunately, it will be on the roadway, so I'll be breaking many laws.
Well,
don't listen,
caught.
JPD.
Don't get caught. So, great. And, of course, Zach Bowman from Autoblog. Congratulations again on your promotion or however that works. I'm not sure, but congratulations.
Are you
still at all the other sites you were
No, I'm just at Hooniverse.com and, of course, with you guys here at Roundabout. You can also follow me on Twitter at @Z_Bowman. But other than that, it's all Autoblog all the time.
Yeah, and you've had, like, 1,000 stories on there, I think I've seen. It's quite impressive that you can pump
out
that much
content.
Posting
my little dark heart out is what I'm doing.
Must be based on commission, all I can say. Anyway, visit our website, roundaboutshow.com, for more great content throughout the week, including links and show notes. You can also swing by the Rohab Emporium, as I mentioned earlier. Check out our t-shirts, mugs, all sorts of other great stuff. You can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/roundaboutshow. And, of course, we're on Facebook, too. That's facebook.com/roundaboutshow. Give us a follow. Got some great fan art there, again, courtesy of Mirko Reinhardt over in Germany, for that lovely communist poster with all of us on there. Hilarious. And, of course, all the other
awesome.
Great stuff. He's, it's
Communism's
awesome.
Communism's funny.
Socialism is funny, Ben. Subscribe to our podcast. You can do it on the iTunes Store. Just search for Roundabout Show or the Zune Marketplace if you're a loser like me. Anyway, thanks to all of you out there listening. Please join us again next week as we circle the roundabout. We'll talk to you then.
I'm the best!
All right, guys. I'll see y'all.
Wait, Jeff.
What?
How long till the wedding?
He's already married, Michelle.
No, he's not.
Next Saturday.
That's weird.
Which means I will not be on the show next week. Of obviously.
Turncoat.
Jeff.
What?
Jeff. Hey, wait, Jeff.
This is our last chance.
I'm not
to
Jeff
talk
and you,
to you.
No, you have to be tomorrow.
Well, no, but I mean, like, on the show.
Me of, like, seven
this is our last
lube chat.
And now, Roundabout founder and CEO, Mr. Craig Cole.
God damn, I can't read in these fucking things. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. This week, we're bringing you something magical at an unbelievable price. It's something we think you're really going to love.
Are you dying?
But before we jump into what's new, let's take a little look back at where we're at. To date, our products have been downloaded dozens of times from iTunes. Isn't that great? It's really wonderful. Applause, Ben. Thank you. So far this year, our growth has been off the charts, increasing by a factor of one. And we look forward to continuing that momentum.
This is going
years.
So well.
You know, he usually talks a little faster than that.
Well,
with a little more energy.
Are we doing the Sling Blade version here?
Okay. can't finish.
If Sling Blade ran Apple. Featuring Craig Cole.
Well, if nothing else, it's good for a laugh. Can I finish?
Why don't we take it from the top? That was a great outtake.
I guess. All right.
I wasn't on with my applause and crap.
No, you usually aren't. But are you ready now, Ben?
Yes. Yeah, it was my fault. Yeah, I'm ready.
Well, it's easier to blame you than accept responsibility.
I'm ready, Craig. Give it.
Applause, Ben.